Okay, great. Okay, I apologize for my the sound of my voice. Like you said, Mishnechnas Adar Marim B'Simcha. The Farshim asks, what's the parallel between Kishem, just as Mishnechnas Av Mamatim B'Simcha, so too. Just as Av is the time of being Mamatim B'Simcha, so too Adar is the time of Marim B'Simcha. What's the connection between Av and Adar? Av obviously brings to mind Korban Beis HaMikdash. Is Adar a time of Binyan Beis HaMikdash? Maybe. But certainly, you know, certainly it's a reminder to ourselves in the absence of a Beis HaMikdash to make sure that our homes become a Mikdash Ma'at. And Baruch Hashem, to fill up a room on a Motzei Shabbos, people should get together and learn Torah, and to understand that the Simcha of others so deeply connected to Torah makes a Mikdash Ma'at, makes a home into a small Beis HaMikdash. So Mirtz Hashem, your home should continue to be a place of Torah, of Jews getting together, B'Simcha, to enjoy a Malav Malka together. And Mirtz Hashem, it should be bracha to you and the entire family.
Amen.
We started this parsha, read this morning about the Eved Ivri. And the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh asks, why is he called an Eved Ivri? Why isn't he called an Eved Yisrael? The Aruch Chaim says, because to call a Jew who's working for another person an Eved Yisrael, to say that the Yisrael, the name Yisrael, the exalted name of the Jewish people, would ever be applied to someone who, in a certain sense, is enslaved to another human being, there's no such a misnomer. We couldn't even imagine such a concept, an Eved Yisrael. And the Aruch Chaim goes on to explain, because really, Avdus, the notion of being an Eved, first and foremost in the mind of a Jew, should be, I'm an Eved Hashem. That I want to be an Eved Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of his life, earns the title of Eved Hashem. It's nothing to be embarrassed of. It's a beautiful term for a Jew. Yismach Moshe Matnas Chalko Ki Eved Ne'eman Perasalo. We say every Shabbos in the Davening. So we spend most of our life working for Hashem. That's the notion that we have of being an Eved. Right? Of being an Eved to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki Li B'nei Yisrael Avadim Avadayim. That we're Avadim Avad Kadosh Baruch Hu. Once in a while, we think about the fact that not only do we work for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we have the chutzpah to say, maybe we work with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not just that he's the one who's mitzaveh, and we're the ones who are the recipients of that tzivoy, but once in a while we have the chutzpah to say, Hashem, you know, the truth is, you can't really do it without us. That there's sort of a partnership between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's also merumens what we learned today in the half shekel. Right? This Shabbos we read Parshas Shkalim. And the Sfarim talk about this concept of a half shekel. What's this idea of giving a half a shekel? If we give our half, who provides, so to speak, the other half of the shekel? But perhaps, again, the Sfarim say it alludes to this partnership between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we'll provide half the shekel and Hashem, you'll, so to speak, provide the other half of the shekel. The concept of Nasa Adam. That when God was created the world, he turned to man, so to speak, and said, Nasa Adam, let us make man. Which means that Hashem says, I'm going to make part of you, but I want you to make part of you. There's a partnership. Many Mamari Chazal that say, a person who says Vayechulu, a person who brings in Shabbos, a person who's Mekayim Shabbos, he partners, he becomes a partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in creation of the world. Gemara Megillah says, a judge who's done Din Emes La'amito, a judge who paskins correctly, also he becomes a partner. He becomes a partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So again, it's a little bit of a chutzpah to say such a thing. Not just that Hashem is on top and we're, so to speak, responding to His command, but no, Hashem, you need us. There's a partnership between us and the Kadosh Baruch. Listen for a moment to the words of the Ohev Yisrael, the Apter of. He says, it's interesting, also in this week's parsha, we find that strange scene where Moshe Rabbeinu is dividing the blood, and part of the blood he's putting into this basin, and part of the blood he's sprinkling on Mizbeach, and the other half of the blood he's sprinkling on Klal Yisrael. Very strange scene. Picture Klal Yisrael standing by Kabbalah's Torah covered in blood. Exactly. Very strange, hard to understand what that means. But that's the bris that's being sealed between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Ohev Yisrael, the Apter of, says, why is there this splitting of the blood? And if you look in Rashi, he brings from the Gemara in Zvachim that a malach came and divided the blood exactly evenly. That exactly half the blood should be on the Mizbeach, for Hashem, so to speak, and half the blood should be sprinkled on Klal Yisrael to be chorus this bris. So listen to his words. He says it with great trepidation. You could see that the Ohev Yisrael, the Apter of, again, he was called the Ohev Yisrael for a reason. He was a great lover of the Jewish people, and he's trying to bolster our position, so to speak, in that bris in their relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He writes, Kiviyachal, Kiviyachal, Habore Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, Legodel Otsama Avasul Bnei Yisrael. Kiviyachal, Kiviyachal, if we could say such a thing, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the great creator of the world, the great one who loves Klal Yisrael, his beloved people, and he created us to perform chesed with us, Mitzam Tzemes Atzmo Kiviyachal V'Kiviyachal, Likari B'Shem B'Chinas Plag Gufa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows himself to, so to speak, be seen as half of the body, U'Bnei Yisrael Heim B'Chinas Plag Gufa Hashem. And we're the other half. That there's this unbelievable partnership between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says this is hinted to in the way the Sanhedrin used to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. The Sanhedrin, the greatest rabbis ever, used to sit in a half a circle. Who's the other half of the circle? He says, "Well, the Rambis, Yichud Hakadosh Hazeh, Hayu Sanhedrin Yoshim Bechatzi Goren Agula." The Sanhedrin sat in the Lishchas Hagazis in a half a circle, again hinting to the fact that what? Bebechinas Plag, Vachatzi Hasheni Kiviyachol, Kiviyachol, Hu Abore Baruch Hu Baruch Shema, Mashlim Lios Achdes Gomer Vamiti. That we, so to speak, provide half of the picture, and Kodesh Baruch Hu provides, so to speak, the other half of the picture. And he goes on and he says, this is the secret of the blood that was half sprinkled on Klal Yisrael, half sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and this is the secret of the half shekel. As if to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, you need our half as much as we need your half. And there's a partnership. It's not only us working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's us working alongside with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was a holy tzaddik who died in the Holocaust, Rav Shem Klingler. He was a very, very big tzaddik. We have very, very little of his writings that survived the war. We have a small sefer that was reprinted in more recent years called the Ohel Shem. So again, he writes in this week's parsha, why did the Malach come to divide the blood so precisely? Quotes from the Kozhitzer Magid. He says, because Hashem wants us to realize that our half is just as important as his half, and his half is just as important as our half. That delicate balance between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, working, partnering together. And then he quotes an unbelievable thing. He says, let's think about the different relationships we have with Hashem. Now, sometimes we think of Hashem as the master, the Adon, or we're the Abed. Or Hashem is Avinu, and we're Banim L'makom, Banim Atem L'Hashem L'Okecha. Sometimes we think of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like we just described, as, so to speak, our contemporary, where we partner with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, working side by side. And sometimes we even have an expression in Shir HaShirim, where our relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu is described as what? As twins, as Tu'umim. As two children being formed within one mother, right? That the ultimate, you know, achdus. So he says an amazing thing. He says again these three relationships: banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, parent child, l'man achai v're'ai, so to speak, almost like a friend or a brotherly relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the highest level again to umim, like it says in Shir HaShirim, pischli achosi rayasi tumasi, to be partners with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the deepest way. He says, if I was trying to draw these three relationships, I was trying to map it out, if I was making a family tree, so to speak, and I wanted to indicate that sometimes with the Kodesh Baruch we have a parent-child relationship, so I'd place one dot on top of another dot. If I wanted to show that Hashem and I are, so to speak, l'man achai v're'ai, that we're brothers, that we're contemporaries, so I put two dots next to each other. And if I wanted to show a certain oneness that we embody with the Kodesh Baruch, maybe I'd put us even in the same circle. So he says, we know, in the Nekudos, you have a Shva, which is a dot on top of a dot. You have a Tzeire, which is a dot alongside a dot. And you have a Chirik, which is the single dot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be cognizant of these three relationships, so much so that the first word of the Torah expresses it. Look at the word Bereshis. Unbelievable. An unbelievable thing. He says, under the Beis is a Shva, Bereshis. As if to say again, Banim Lamakom, L'man achai v're'ai, and to realize in a certain sense that what? That we mamash partner with Hashem. To umin. Mamash almost one in the same, combining our forces, so to speak, to create something great in this world. But now we go from the world of shkalim, which is the world of the partnership, and now we start heading towards partner. And now we take it up even one more notch. Not only are we avadim of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, not only do we have the audacity to even pretend to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu's partner in making the world a better place, but sometimes we even have the chutzpah to say, Hashem, you work for us. This is going to require a little bit of explanation. It's not so pashut to boss a Kadosh Baruch around, to make demands from a Kadosh Baruch and tell him what to do. But that's really a theme that emerges on Purim. That vina hafachu, so to speak, the table has been turned, that we say to a Kadosh Baruch, we have expectations from you as well. We expect certain things from you. Mishnah says at the end of Maseches Sota that in the ikvus of the Mashiach, at the end of time, chutzpah yaske, one of the signs of the end of days is an increase of chutzpah, which we see in the world today. Countless examples, right, of just a total disregard for a hierarchy of someone on top and someone, everyone's entitled to an opinion. Anyone can say whatever they want to someone who's in a position of power. Everyone's entitled to voice their opinion, to voice their opposition, to rally and to picket and to do whatever you want, to kick and scream. That's a sign, says the Mishnah at the end of Sota, that we're getting very close to Mashiach. It's one of many signs that the Mishnah brings there, that we're getting close to Mashiach. But the end of time is not only in terms of the broader picture of all of history. The end of time also can be seen in terms of the calendar year. Which means that if Chodesh Nisan is the beginning of time, Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chadashim, then Chodesh Adar, which is the month that we're in now, is the end of time. This is the end of the calendar year. This is the end of time. Which means that one of the expressions of Adar is Chutzpah Yaske, an increase of Chutzpah. Where again we have a certain audacity to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to make demands for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To say, we're going to tell you what we want, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're going to do it. Now, again, it's a delicate topic. But let's try to develop it. If you look in the Zohar Chadash, the Zohar says that Chanukah and Purim correspond to the two legs. What does that mean? We know there's different spheros, different ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world. The three intellectual attributes are called the Mochin, the seven lower spheros, expressions of God, called the Midos. We know them from Sfiras HaOmer, the 7 weeks of Chesed and Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. We know the top three, Keser, right? Chabad, maybe, again, depending how you calculate it, Chachma, Bina, Das, or Keser, Chachma, Bina, right? ten different, so to speak, filters by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses His light in this world. So says the Zohar Chadash, Chanukah and Purim are the two legs. What does that mean? It means, again, based on other passages in the Zohar, that the various spheros correspond to different body parts. Chesed is the right arm. Gvura is the left arm. Tiferes is the torso of man. And Netzach and Hod correspond to the two legs. So Purim and Chanukah somehow correspond to the right leg and the left leg. Okay. In the Shaar Kavanos, it's not clear which leg is which. It's not clear, is Purim Netzach and Chanukah Hod? Is Purim Hod and Chanukah Netzach? If you look in the Shaar Kavanos of the Arizal, in his writings on Rosh Chodesh, he says that Pesach is the right arm, Rosh Hashanah is the left arm, Sukkot is the torso, Purim is the right leg, and Chanukah is the left leg. Which means that Purim corresponds to the Midah, to the sphere of Netzach. What does Netzach mean? What's the concept of Netzach? We can learn something very deep about the Yom Tov of Purim. Netzach, of course, means eternal, right? Netzach means something that is eternal. And that's certainly true about Purim. Maybe more so than any other Yom Tov. It's amazing what the Medrash says about Purim. You know, for those who enjoy Purim, you don't have to worry about Purim disappearing on you. Purim's going to last forever. The Medrash says that when Mashiach comes, many of the Yom Tovim that we enjoy now are going to be batel. They're not going to function the way that they function today. That when Mashiach comes, new Yom Tovim, new miracles and the arrival of the Geula are going to replace everything that we experience in the world today. So many of the Yom Tovim, as we know them, are going to be batel. Exactly what that means is a good question, but that's what it says. However, says the Medrash, Purim will never be batel, because it says in the Megillas Esther, it says that these days of Purim, lo yavor, they'll never disappear. These are forever, these are days forever. Purim will never disappear. The Rambam, in the last halacha in Hilchos Megillah, the Rambam says, not only will Purim not disappear, again also based on Midrashim, the Rambam says, you like learning Nach? Enjoy Nach while you can, because it's going to disappear on you. If you like Sefer Yeshayah, now's a great time to learn it. Because by the time Mashiach comes, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, hopefully soon, right? The Rambam writes that all of the Sifrei Kodesh are going to be batel, with the exception of the 5 books of Moshe and Megillas Esther. All the Svarim of Nach are going to be batel. The only one we take with us to Mashiach, we take the 5 books of Moshe, we take the Torah, and we take Megillas Esther. So there's an Indian of Netzach, there's an Indian of something eternal. When we think about the Yom Tov of Purim, we think about Megillas Esther, right? It's something that lasts forever. Netzach, eternal. Netzach, Netzach. But what else does Netzach mean? What else does the word Netzach mean? Netzach implies a certain degree of victory. Right? Nitzachon, to be victorious over something. So who are we victorious over on Purim? So obviously Pasha Pshat is our victory, our unbelievable victory, our surprising victory over Amalek. Never in history did the Jewish people, never in history were the Jewish people as threatened as they were on Purim. That Haman with his horrible plan, I was learning this morning, the Malbim on Megillas Esther, so fascinating how the Malbim presents how Haman had a whole plan. He sent one letter and then he sent another letter to be opened on the 13th of Adar, and he told people just prepare for war. He didn't tell them who they're going to fight against, because if he would have known it was the Jews, it could have caused a whole tumult. So he said, he sent one letter, prepare on the 13th of Adar for war, and on the 13th of Adar, everyone open up that second envelope and find out who we're fighting against. Haman had a whole plot, got the whole world involved, and this was going to be the end of the Jewish people. Vinahafahu. Unbelievable victory. Netzach. What a victory. What a surprise victory. That Klai Yisrael were able to overcome Amalek in such a way. It's an unbelievable victory. But it could be on a deeper level that the victory that we're celebrating on Purim is something that, again, has to be said very, 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 very delicate. In a very delicate way. Who is Amalek fighting against? As you say, Haman was fighting against Klai Yisrael. He was fighting against the Jewish people. But the truth is, if we go back to Parshas B'Shalach, which was not that long ago, Amalek doesn't only have it in for the Jewish people. Amalek's got a real big issue with God. Amalek fights against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Parshas B'Shalach says at the end, Melchama LaHashem V'Amalek Midor Ador. This is God's battle. Amalek is the one who leads Klal Yisrael to question, Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbeinu Amayim? Amalek's not only going after Jews, they're going after God. And therefore, listen carefully, V'Nahafachu, if Amalek is trying to attack and to destroy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that of course is a horrible thing, an evil thing, well maybe we can learn from Amalek that there is a proper way to conquer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe if Amalek wants to fight against Hashem and challenge Hashem and confront Hashem, and that was a terrible perversion, but maybe the V'Nahafachu is not that we're subservient to Hashem, but maybe there's a right way. Maybe there's a right way to battle against Hashem, to confront the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to even make demands from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Nabi says that in Mitzrayim, everything was Nagof V'Rafo, which means that everything that was happening to the Egyptians to harm them was healing us. And everything that the Egyptians were using to harm us turned into a strength of Klal Yisrael. So maybe the same thing here. Maybe Amalek is in their chutzpah to fight against God. Maybe we can learn in a proper way to confront the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to challenge the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to use that midah of netzach, not only against our enemies like Amalek, but maybe even to have the audacity to use that midah of netzach, of holy chutzpah, of the ichus of the Mashiach, again, the end of days, Chodesh Adar, the last month, maybe to fight against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to confront Hashem a little bit. This is not my own idea, I would never say such a thing. Rav Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin, the pre-tzadik on Purim, in Os Heng, writes as follows. Klipas Amalek v'Haman hu chutzpah v'nitzuach klape shmai. What does Haman represent? What does Amalek represent? A chutzpah like never before. A chutzpah to think that they could battle against God, to confront the creator of the world. V'hu kamo klipas Bilam, like Bilam also, who thought that he could confront not only Klal Yisrael, but he could curse the Jewish God. The Baruch Sanhedrin says, chutzpah filu klape shmai mahan. While it might be wrong at times to challenge a Kadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes it works. Bilam got away with certain things that were very chutzpahdik. Think about the story of Choni HaMagil in the Gemara in Tanis. He draws himself a circle, he stands in the middle of the circle, and he says, God, I'm not leaving until you make it rain. And all the other rabbis said, Choni, you're chutzpah. You're chutzpah, you should be punished for this. But Hashem loves you, and you get away with it. And he did get away with it. It was chutzpah. It wasn't right. The Gemara tells a similar story about one of the Tanaim, whose name was Levi, who also made demands from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain. And even though Levi was injured, he was penalized by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at the end of the day, he brought the rain. So sometimes a Jew has to have a certain courage to stand up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, listen, Baruch Hu, this is what we need. Klal Yisrael's hurting. If you love us, as you claim you do, so we need your help. And therefore, writes Rav Tzadok, listen to what he writes. V'inyan midazu, nitzmach mibechinas zelu mazeh. This perversion of fighting against the Kadosh Baruch Hu that Amalek represents, this chutzpah of battling Klape Shmaya, that again, that Amalek, that Bilam, that some of the greatest enemies, Bilam and Balak, as far as I'm saying, you put together Bil'am and Balak, the end of Bil'am is Ayin Mem, the end of Balak is Lamed Kof, put it together, Amalek emerges from that merger of Bilam and Balak. What do you do with the rest of the letters? So you can look in the Yalkut Ruveni, he tells you what to do with the rest of the letters. Right? But the point is, these are some of the greatest enemies of Klal Yisrael, the greatest enemies of God. And yet their chutzpah can teach us something. We can learn from it. That this midah, again, is the zel umazel, this is the negative, this is the inverse of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us in a positive sense, which is what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us b'kedusha, inyan ha-nitzuach klap Yishmael l'tovas Yisrael. That a Jew says, Hashem, this is not acceptable the way you're treating Klal Yisrael. That Klal Yisrael are your beloved children, and we demand of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make the situation better for the Jewish people. We can't go on like this. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we care that much, that we're willing to confront him, that we're willing to challenge him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu smiles down and says, good, good, you care, that's good. I want to see that you care. I'll show you two Gemaras where we see that we use this midah of Netzach, and it could be there are other Gemaras, two that I know of, where we use this midah of Netzach against Hashem, and Hashem is so happy. Famous Gemara above Metzia, Daf Nun Testament base. Rabbi Eliezer, famous Gemara is called Tanur Shalachnai. Rabbi Eliezer had a certain shita about a certain type of oven and a certain shita in Tumah and Tahara. He was Metar, certain things. All the other rabbis said, it's Tameh, it's impure. And they teamed up Tanur Shalachnai. They surrounded Rabbi Eliezer with their opinions, right? Like a snake coils itself around whatever it wraps itself around. And they were bullying Rabbi Eliezer to challenge him and say, all the things that you said are Tahara, in fact, Tameh. So Rabbi Eliezer said, listen, Rabbi Eliezer was a big tzaddik. Rabbi Eliezer said, listen, I feel that I'm correct. And I know that I'm correct. I know that all the other rabbis disagree, but he said, I know I'm correct. He said, if I'm correct, then the carob trees should jump out of the ground. And they did. The trees literally jumped out of the ground. So the rabbi said, we're not impressed. They said, oh yeah, well, how about if the streams of water reverse their flow? And the water turned around the other direction, not impressed. What about if the walls of the base medrash start to collapse, start to cave in? The Vilna Gaon writes in his Kol Eliyahu, he says these three things, the carob tree and the water and the walls of the base medrash, allude to three different midos that a person has to have in order to have success in Torah. You have to be mistapik b'mu'at, you have to be satisfied with little. That's what the carob represents. It's Gemara in several places, alludes to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yochai when he was in the cave for 13 years. He had carobs, nothing else. It's a simple food. The water represents humility, as the Gemara says, that water will always flow downstream to the lowest point. So water, the Gemara in Tanis says, represents humility. And the walls of the base medrash caving in represents time. If a person wants to have success in Torah, you have to put in a lot of time in the base medrash. So Eliezer was saying, listen, I have the humility, I'm a stop even mu'ah, and I put in time in the base medrash. You have to listen to me. And they said, we're not going to listen to you. Until finally a bas kol came out of the heavens. And the Baskel said, how dare you start out with Rabbi Eliezer? Don't you know the halachas like Rabbi Eliezer in every situation? Rabbi Eliezer is the posei kador. Who are you rabbis to confront him? And Rabbi Yeshua gets up at that moment. And Rabbi Yeshua says, lo vashamayim. I don't care what God says. I don't really care what God says. And Rabbi Yirmiyah says, yes, because the Torah has been given and the Torah says we follow the majority. And the majority disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at that time, Eliyahu was met later on. The Gemara says Eliyahu was met by one of the Tanaim. And Eliyahu Navi was asked, well, what did Hashem think of that? When the Jewish people said, we don't care what the Baskel says, we don't care what a heavenly voice says. And Eliyahu says, you know what Hashem was doing at that time? Hashem was smiling. And Hashem said, Nitzchuni banai, Nitzchuni banai. My children have defeated me. My children, Netzach, Nitzchuni. My children have defeated me. The Ben Ish Chai writes in the Sefer Al-Agarata, the Ben Yehoyada, he says, why a double Lashon, Nitzchuni Banai, Nitzchuni Banai, why say it twice? It's one thing to not be impressed by the carob tree and the water and the walls of the Beis Medrash. It's another thing to have the chutzpah to say, Baskel, I don't care what Hashem paskins, we're in charge. You gave us the Torah, we're in charge now. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was smiling. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was filled with an unbelievable simcha to know that Klal Yisrael cared so much. The Klal Yisrael said, we're also involved here. Right? That we're the ones who decide what the Torah says. You gave us the Torah. And Ba'amas, the Torah says, you follow the majority. So we're paskening. And Hashem says, good, good, that's good. I want you. I want you to feel a sense of acharis. I want you to feel a sense of bailus, a sense of ownership over the Torah. That's a beautiful thing, Hashem says. And I'm proud of you. My children have defeated me. My children have defeated me. There's one other Gemara that I know of, again, where you have a similar expression. And it's quoted here by Rabbi Nachman in the Sichos Haran. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, Zchusu Yagen Aleinu, in Sichos Haran, O Samach Tes. Quotes the Gemara, it's a Gemara Pesachim Daf Kuf Yates. Again, listen to the words of Rabbi Nachman, and it's so fitting, again, for us us, the Jews of the Ikkus of the Mashiach, in the month of Adar, preparing for Purim, to really internalize these words. Listen to what he says. Zamru lemi shemenatzchen oso v'sameach. That's a line from the Gemara. Zamru lemi shemenatzchen oso v'sameach. To sing songs of praise to the one who is defeated, and he rejoices in his defeat. Who's the one who loves to be defeated? Who's so happy to be defeated? Listen to what Rabbi Nachman writes. We need to conquer. Hakadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol. Hiachol pishenin mela adam shashem yisbarach inarotzel karvo machmas shekil kol harbe. Sometimes a Jew feels not only do I not have a right to demand from Hashem, I don't even have a right to talk to Hashem. Who am I after the things that I do? The mouth that spoke lashon hara, I'm going to go talk to Hashem now. I was mekalkel harbe. I caused a lot of damage in Hashem's world. Not only do I not have a right to expect from him, but I'm embarrassed to even talk to him. I'm embarrassed to have a relationship with him. In the past, I made terrible mistakes. I'm currently not the type of Jew I need to be. To spread your hands, to pour out your heart before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say to Hashem, Shirachim alav yikarveu lavodasa. Hashem, even though I'm not worthy, what choice do I have? I need you. I demand that you bring me close, Hashem. Afal pichen ani rotzel lihiyos Yisraeli. I want to be a Jew. I know I don't have the right to ask that you should drag me along, to bring me close, to embrace me after everything I've done. But Hashem, this is what I need, and this is what I expect of you. Nimsa shirotzel anaseach es Hashem yisbarach chiviyachol. That this individual demands of Hashem. He conquers Hashem in a certain sense. Hashem Yisbarach Yesh Lo Simcha Mizeh Sheminatzchen Oso Kiviyach. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, wow, what a beautiful thing, what an amazing thing. Zamru Lemi Sheminatzchen Oso V'Sameach. Happy is the one who, again, who is defeated. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu loves to see, look, a Jew who still cares, even though it would be easy for that Jew to give up. It would be easy for that Jew to not think he has a right to talk to me. But again, to be able to demand from Hashem, Hashem, I need to be close to you. I don't have a choice. I can't go on like this. And again, in a certain sense, to use that midah of netzach against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's one thing to use this midah of netzach in, so to speak, alone. Gemara talks in Moed Katan. Gemara Moed Katan, Daf Tezayin, talks about a situation where Hashem makes a decree, and a tzaddik is mevatel the decree. That's already a certain degree of chutzpah. That Hashem says, this is what I want, and the tzaddik says, yeah, I don't think we should do that. He's mavatal. He causes Hashem to refrain from doing what he wants to do. That's one thing. But it's another level, again, to do what we're talking about. Here we're not talking about asking Hashem to Hashem, Rachman al-Islan has decreed that a certain terrible tzara should befall Klal Yisrael, and to uproot it. This is different. This is going on the offensive. This is demanding of Hashem. These expectations from Hashem. There was no one who loved Klal Yisrael like a Levi Yitzchak Berdichev. The Berdichever would do whatever, it's good, Motzei Shabbos, Tal, Sipur, Tzadikim. Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, there was no one who really fought against the Kodesh Baruch Hu on behalf of the Jewish people like the Berdichever. One time the Berdichever said, Ribbono Shalom, I'm just telling you. He threatened the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He said, Hashem, I'm threatening you. I'm telling you right now, if you don't start taking better care of Klal Yisrael, I'm going to passel your tefillin. What was he talking about? The Gemara says that just like we wear tefillin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also wears tefillin. What's written in our tefillin? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What's written in Hashem's tefillin? Mi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. So our tefillin has echad, his tefillin has echad. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, Hashem, mi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Klal Yisrael is supposed to be the best of nations. They're one of a kind. And yet they're being trampled. And they don't have food. They don't have parnasa. And there's people who are suffering from health issues. Ribbono Shalom, if you don't take care of Klal Yisrael, then that pasuk that's written in your tefillin is a total lie. It's a complete lie. And I'm going to passel your tefillin, Ribbono Shalom. If I don't see an improvement for Klal Yisrael, I'm going to passel your tefillin. That's such a chutzpah to say such a thing. Not the Berdichever could get away with such a thing. Berdichever taught us that there's such an inyan of netzach, of nitzuach. Again, the midah that Amalek used against Hashem. But to use it in a positive way. Hashem wants us to be assertive, to believe in our ability to also rule over the ruler, in a certain sense. A couple weeks ago, the Berdichever wrote, not a couple weeks ago, last week's Parsha, I guess now it's 2 weeks, Parsha's Yisrael. When the Pasuk says, V'atem tiyu li mamleches kohanim. So the Pashat Pshat is Hashem wants us to be a royal nation. Right? He's the king or the prince or the princesses of the world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also hinting to the following. The Prediger said, Va'atem tiyu li mamlech eskwan. I want you to be mamlech yourself over me. That you should tiyu li mamlech eskwan. You should be the melech over me. That Hashem again invites us sometimes to take the lead, to make demands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Berdichver writes, Kedushas Levi by Shavuos. He says, we know from Chazal that the Torah was written in black fire on top of white fire. And that's true every time we open up our Sefer Torah, we see the black letters on top of the white parchment. Says the Berdichver, black is very limited in terms of its ability to receive light. White, on the other hand, right, that purity of white, so to speak, represents the fullness of the color spectrum. Right? It's like the beam of light before it's, you know, goes through the prism and is broken up into all its beautiful spectrum of colors. So what does it mean that the black ink should be on top of the white parchment? What does it mean that the black fire, that the Torah is written black fire, Kabbalistically, whatever that means, black fire on top of white fire? The Berdichver says, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, you're limited with the black. Right? The black that represents, Klal Yisrael sometimes, a finite human being, Basar V'dam, so limited. And yet sometimes you're on top of the white. You're on top of the limitless white. Hashem says again, I want you to take the upper hand, so to speak. To take charge, to take ownership over the Torah. To fight for Klal Yisrael. To battle against me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nitzchuni banai, nitzchuni banai. Hashem rejoices at such a thing. Now of course, obviously, needless to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really, of course, keeps the final say. I mean, as much as Hashem lets us play this game with Him, so to speak, at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the final say. And that we also find in the writings of the Levi Yitzchak Berdichev. In the very back of the Sefer in the Likutim, he says, why do we refer to Hashem as Melech Malchei HaMalachim? How do we teach Melech Malchei HaMalachim? The King of all Kings? That's a simplistic translation. What does Melech Malchei HaMalachim mean? So he says, that the Gemara in Gittin says that a person who becomes prominent in Torah is considered like a melech. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I allow you as a melech, as a Jew who has the power of Torah, to be a king over the king. I allow you to be the king over me. Hashem says, I'm a king and you're also a king. So I allow you to be a king over me. But we remind ourselves when we say, melech malchei hamalachim, right, that Hashem is the king who rules over the kings, us, who rule over the king, who rule over him. So Hashem really has the final say, so to speak. Right? He's the king who rules over us when we become royal, and he grants us the ability to rule over him. He always has the final say. But at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. Hashem gave us the Torah. And Hashem smiled in that Gemara when we defeated him. And Hashem was happy and rejoiced and sang praises to us, in a sense, when we were able to be victorious over him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to take charge of the world. And Hashem wants us to, in a certain sense, push Him in a certain direction to say, Hashem, this is what we need. Hashem takes pride in that when His children. See, when a parent looks at a child, when a child comes to a parent and says, Ima, Abba, Mommy, Daddy, this is what I need. And the child may not be worthy. Right? But if the child, you see, when the parent sees the child really needs something, what parent's going to turn down that child? What parent's not going to want to provide for the needs of that child? I'll tell you probably the scariest zavar I ever heard on this image. There's a zavar from the Maggid of Mezrich, the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. The Maggid said a very, again, this is dangerous Torah, so you have to absorb it all in the right way. But the Maggid of Mezrich said, Adon Olam Hashem Malach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. What's the Pashup Shad? Adon Olam, Master of the World. Hashem Malach, you were the ruler of the world, you were the Melech. B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, you ruled the world before there was a world. And all the more so now that there is a world, you're the Melech Malchei HaMalachim, you're the greatest king ever. But the Maggid of Mezrich said a different pshat. He said, Adon Olam Hashem Malach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. Hashem, you were the king who ruled the world before you created the world, before B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, before anyone was created. But now that you created us, we're in charge. We rule the world now. Again, it's a hard thing to say, but it gives the Kadosh Baruch Hu nachas. Because again, it shows how much we care. It shows that we haven't become complacent in Golis. It shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need the Geula. And we're not going to sit back and just relax and wait for the Geula to come. Whenever you think it's right, Hashem, we're going to make demands of you. How does this play itself out in Purim in such a beautiful way? So many examples in Megillah Esther, but just to name a few. when Esther has to go to the Melech Achashverosh, and she walks into the Melech Achashverosh, Asher lo kadas, without Rishus, she goes in, she wasn't invited, she's scared for her life. Mordechai says, you got to push your way in there. You have to be prepared to go to the king, Shalo kadas, to take a risk, so to speak. To demand, this is what I need. To say to the Melech, this is what I need. Even without being invited. And Esther has the courage to do so. And Mordechai warns her. Mordechai says to her, if you're not going to go now, this is your moment to shine, Esther. Right? Probably one of the favorite psukim of many people in Klal Yisrael. Right? Such a powerful pasuk. If you're going to be silent in the face of this terrible oppression, this terrible decree, then don't worry, the Jews are going to be saved one way or another. But Esther, here's your chance for you, right? You're going to be lost. Now is your chance to step up to the plate and to save Klal Yisrael. That's the Pashup Shah, that's the Mordechai, the conversation between Mordechai and Esther. But I brought along tonight a sefer called Mashmia Shalom. Mashmia Shalom is written by Rosh Hashanah Shach, the Preibisht, the father of Yisrael of Rizhin. And he writes an unbelievable thing. He says it's not only a conversation between Mordechai and Esther. But listen to what he says. Talk about a moment of Nitzuach, a moment of Chutzpah Yaske, holy Chutzpah. But again, it's what Hashem wants us to do. Here's how he reads the Psukim. It's not only Mordechai saying to Esther, if you're going to be quiet, then something else is going to happen. It's us talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rosh Shalom Shachta said as follows. Sheim dvarim haramuzim al zman hazeh. It's the call of a Jew at the end of days, burdened by the gullus. We've seen enough suffering. Ki medaber klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki emecharesh techarishi beis hazeh. We say, Rabbi Shalom, you know what? You've been quiet for a little bit too long. Klal Yisrael's been suffering for too long. We say every day in Shmoneh Esrei, mi do melech. Pashe pshat, who is comparable to you? Who's similar to you, Rabbi Shalom? But dom also means like v'yidom aron, right? Mi dom melech. Who's been silent like you? Hashem, we've had enough. I mean, it's beautiful. It says a lot about you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you have the patience with humanity to allow it, you know, to go on like this. That silence says something of your strength, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it gets to a point where like you've been quiet for too long. The Hester Panim is too great, and it's time for a change. So we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the month of Adar, we say as we're longing, as Esther's preparing to go to the Melech Shalo Kedas without Rishus, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki emecharesh techarishi beis hazos, Hainu, shetah sa'atz mechot kemachrish. Hashem, if you're not going to respond to our tefillos, if you're not going to hear our pain, b'chinas, right, but hester astir, what's the pasuk at the end of the Torah? Azman of Hester Panim, which is what we're living, which we're living in today. If you're going to be silent at this time, be'is hazos, haynu be'is asher yeh oz li Yisrael tzar shenismai tashefa, that we're hurting, v'docha basar docha, and there's one oppression after another oppression, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you leave us no choice. Rather, revach v'atzala yamu la Yehudim mimakom acher. Listen to how he reads those words. We threaten you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if you're not going to take care of us, then we're going to go find someone else to take care of us. We're going to go find salvation mi makom acher. Acher, what does that mean? Haynu shiyavak shulam ezer mi makom acher mi asitra acherach bon alatzon. If you're not on our side, Rabbeinu Shalom, then that's it. We threaten you. We're going off the derech. We might as well have a good time in this room. If we're going to be Jewish and you're not going to, we're going to fight and we're going to try and we're doing what we can and you still don't care, Hashem, then why should we care anymore? So let's go find Revach Bat Sol, let's go find the good time by Makom Acher. Let's go find somewhere else. Let's go somewhere else to invest our time and our money and our effort if you're not interested in us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he goes on and he says, what does that mean to go to Makom Acher? He says, again, if you don't provide, he's talking within the context of his world, if you don't provide Parnasa for the people, for Klal Yisrael, right, then we're going to go to Makom Acher. What does that mean? We're going to go to learn in the universities, he says, of the Gentiles, and we're going to find all sorts of new places to spend. I guess YU didn't exist in the time of Shalom Shachla. Yeah, so that's it. So we're going to go. Va'at ubeis avicha tovedu. At, he says, at, aleph through tuf, represents the aleph through tuf, the letters of which the Torah Shedechsav is made up of. Ubeis avicha, shal avicha v'yagedcha, alludes to Torah Sheba'al Peh. So Hashem, it's now or never. Because if you let it go on like this, Torah Shebechsav is going to be lost, Torah Shebaal Peh is going to be lost, and Klal Yisrael is going to be lost. To have the holy chutzpah to say such a thing. To go to the Melech Shalo Kedas. But again, that's the avoda of Purim. To say to the Melech, listen, We know. In some strange way, you're waiting for Nitzchuni Banai, Nitzchuni Banai. You want us to make that push. You want us to confront you. You want us to believe, Adon Olam Hashem Malach, you used to be king, but now we're the kings. That we're not only your avadim. We also have demands. We also have needs. The Klal Yisrael expects certain things from a Kodesh Baruch Hu who loves us so much. I always found it so interesting, and it came to a really clear place in my mind a couple of years ago, more than a couple of years at this point, I guess. It's such a funny thing when we sing. The way the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to sing about Mashiach, right? The Rebbe was very, and I just read recently an essay from Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg on this topic. He said it was interesting that the Rebbe used to sing, "We want Mashiach now." Vidafka wanted to sing. That's Dafka when he said, "We want Mashiach now," which is a funny thing if you think about it. It's like a little bit chutzpah, you know? We want Mashiach now. We insist we want it now. Right? Like a child comes over to a parent and says, "I want ice cream now. I want a drink now." Okay. Right? So, how about please? So remember, a number of years ago, my brother-in-law Oliver Shalom Chaim Feigenbaum was singing, "We want Mashiach now" with his son, and he was singing, "We want Mashiach now. We want now." He paused at one point, and it was at a point where like they were working with their child, who was like two or three at the time, to always say please and thank you. So he paused at, "We want Mashiach," and he paused, and my nephew, little Nassim, looks up and he says, "Please? Right? We want Mashiach, please? Like, is that the right answer?" He's like, "No, we want Mashiach now. Like, well, I don't understand. You told me I have to say please all the time, not now. But it's a funny thing, we want Mashiach now. But that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for. And the Rebbe was very makvid about that. Again, I read this very interesting piece from Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg explaining why the Rebbe felt to say it. But it's really this Yisrael. To say that Hashem, we insist. We insist, because if we're going to sit back and we're going to wait for the slow track to Mashiach, that the Gemara talks about. There's Be'ita and Achishena. Be'ita means Mashiach comes in its regular time, and then there's Achishena, they're speeding things up. They're speeding up the process. Right? Be'ita. Be'ita means that we're going to go through the regular channels, we're going to get ourselves worthy. Right? Be'ita, spelled ayin, Be'ita, Ayin, Ace, Ayin, Tough Head. Which is also similar to Atta, which is a code word for tshuva. Anytime Atta appears in the Torah, it's a code word for tshuva. So Be'ita means, we're going to do tshuva, we're going to get our act together, and then we'll be ready for Mashiach. Achishena is a totally different mahalach. Achishena says we're not worthy. And it doesn't make sense. But Rabbanu Shalom, this is what we need. Because we can't go on like this. We can't wait any longer. And if we would say that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we would really say, we want Mashiach now, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe would listen to us. Chavetz Chaim brings in a footnote of one of his svarim, in the Likutei Amarim from the Chavetz Chaim, he tells the following story. He says that the Beis HaLevi, Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Salavechik, the Beis HaLevi, after he retired from being the Rav in Slutsk, decided, "I'm not going into the rabbinate anymore. I'm done. I'm done with the rabbinate." He said one day a delegation came from Brisk and said, "We want you to be the Rav of Brisk." So he said, "That's very nice, but I decided that after Slutsk, I'm not going to be in the rabbinate anymore." So they said to him, "How could you say that you're not going to be our rabbi?" It was after the Maharil Diskin, I think, had moved to Yerushalayim, so there was an opening in this position in Brisk. He said, we insist that you become our rabbi." So he says, "That's very nice. You can insist all you want, but I'm not coming." They said, "But there's 25,000 people who are waiting for you and expecting you to become their rabbi, to become the Rav of Brisk. And they're not backing down. There's an army of people out there. They're expecting us to come back with you." So he said, "If that's the case," he said, then what choice do I have?" And the Chavetz Chaim says he got up, he put on his hat, put on his frock, and he hit the road, became the Rav of Brisk. So the Chavetz Chaim writes in that footnote, he says, it's the exact same thing with Mashiach. If we would say to Hashem, "There's 25,000, there's 50,000, 100,000, there's a million Jews, there's 5 million Jews, there's 10 million Jews," right? If all of Klal Yisrael would get together, what is it, 14 million Jews in the world today? 15 million? If we would get together and say, "Hashem, we insist," then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say, "I'm not ready, but you insist. So we have to make it happen." And again, that has to become our attitude. That's what we're working on in Purim. This Midah of Netzach. And therefore, it's so fascinating. I saw once in a Sefer, if you look through Megillas Esther, and with this we'll conclude, if you look through Megillas Esther, you will find that all of the Sviros appear in Megillas Esther with the exception of Netzach. Keser, Chachma, Bina, everything's there. It's all there. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Hod, Yesod, Kikain Yisar HaMelech, right? Malchus, plenty of Malchus in the Megillah. Everything's there except for Netzach. Why? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu challenges us every year on Purim. to come to Purim and to say, you provide the Netzach. And therefore, after Megillas Esther, when it's all said and done, what do we sing? Shoshanas Yaakov. How happy we are when what we see Mordechai, Birosim Yachad, Tcheles Mordechai. The Svarim HaKadoshim say that each of the spheres correspond to a different color. The color of Netzach, Tcheles. The color of Netzach is that when we see Mordechai riding the horse with Tcheles, what do we say? Chuasam Hayisa La Netzach. That's what we sing after you finish reading the Megillah. Chuasam, Chuasam Hayisa La Netzach. Because that's the moment where we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we insist, the same way you brought that Geula once upon a time, this is the Geula that we need, that we beg of you, and we need of you right now. I'll just be Messiah with an amazing story. I know Rav Weinberger told it a number of years ago, I think at the end of Purim. The story is brought in the Sefer Otzoseim, Sal Tzadikim. It's a beautiful story. Recollection of a certain individual, Chassid of the Klausenberger Rebbe. And he says, "Ani nizkar ke'ez v'uvda nifla shahayi b'purim tafshin chavzayin, 1967. Purim 1967. Besudas hayom." He said, "I was at the Suda of the Klausenberger Rebbe. Klausenberger Rebbe survived the war with tremendous suffering. La'achar sheshasa kvod kedushas maran ad mor har b'yayin kedarka b'chodesh b'choshana." The Rebbe had quite a bit to drink. And in the middle of the conversation, all of a sudden the Rebbe said, "Heichan yeshnu hayom makum shekorin haMegillah biyom tesvav ba'adar mikar dedina." Is there any place today that they read the Megillah on the 15th, mikar dedina, mikar adin, in accordance with the full fulfillment of halacha, the lo machla safek? He says there are places in Eretz Yisrael they read on the 15th, but they only read out of a safek. Is there any place where we absolutely are sure we read the Megillah on the 15th? So they started mentioning different places. They said, "No, that's only a suffix to read there. It's only a suffix to read there. Is there any place, like the opening Mishnah, Maseches Megillah, a walled city from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, reads on the 15th? It seems that there was nowhere. V'dachak v'od k'dushas maran ad mor al-shochas. So he banged on the table. V'zak, and he screamed out from the depths of his heart, "Ribono sha'olam, it says in your Megillah, v'yamei ha'pur me'ila lo yavru mitoch ha'yehudim. These days, plural, the 14th and 15th of Adar will never be lost from the Jews. There's an expectation to have 2 days of Purim, the 14th of Adar and the 15th of Adar. But today, I realized, as the Klausenberger, that we're not, the 15th of Adar, we're only celebrating today in various Makomos, Hakadoshim, Misafik. The cave and she'efshar likros kayom, betesvav me'ikar hadin. But nowadays, there's not one place that we're reading on the 15th, Me'ikar Adin, the basic fulfillment of the halacha, Hare Ata Ose Torascha Plaster, then your Torah is alive. Your Megillah is alive, Rabbeinu Shalom. Banged on the table, he said 1967, he banged on the table, he said the Torah is a, your Megillah is a big lie. That there's no one in Eretz Yisrael who's able to read Megillah on the 15th, and he screamed out for a long time, it says, Rabbeinu Shalom, Ata Chayiv Liros Sheikro Gam B'tes Vav B'Adar. Rabbeinu Shalom, we insist, we demand that on the 15th of Adar, Jews should be able to read the Megillah Mikar Dedina. V'achein, needless to say, shortly thereafter, a few months afterwards, the Jewish people, it says, entered the Ir Ha'atika, right? On the Six-Day War, from June, the 5th of June to the 10th of June, 1967. And by next year, V'shana Haba Kvar Karu Sham Megillah B'tesava. By the next year, Klai, so we're reading the Megillah, not Misafik, but Mikar Dedina, because what? Because one Jew said, the bunch of his camping. It's not fair, it doesn't make sense. So Mir Tashem, we should call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, Chu'asam Hayisa LaNetzach. It's an eternal salvation. It's the Yom Tov that will last forever. The Yom Tov that will continue to exist even when Mashiach comes. So Mir Tashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should hear our cries. The way that Mordechai HaYehudi went out in the streets, the Vilna Gaon writes, he went out in the streets, and like a Meshuggah, he was screaming in the streets. And the Vilna Gaon writes in his parash on Esther, Mordechai was, it was bizyonos what Mordechai was doing. But he was screaming. He said, Klal Yisrael's in trouble. And it's not a time to be quiet. It's a time for us to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the days ahead, in the month of Adar, to make demands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To make demands for someone who doesn't yet have a shidduch, to make demands for someone who's sick, who we've been davening for, they have to get better. It's not negotiable, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the person who's struggling with his parnasa should have parnasa. It's enough already, Rabbeinu Shalom. They've suffered enough. And to say to Rabbeinu Shalom, Klal Yisrael has suffered enough. And we don't want Mashiach, please, we want Mashiach now. Yitzhak Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should answer our tefillas. We should be zochah this Purim to celebrating Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash from here. Amen.